Influencers is brought to you by
7Seas. Start your day the right way. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. The Beauty Barn, hair and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real-Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. And on this radio show, we take you into the world of leaders within Bahamian society and the global community to give you insights on how they use their influence to bring about positive change. We provide this platform for influencers to inspire our listeners with their personal stories on how they maneuver and strategize to still be impactful and influential, even in this new norm environment post-COVID-19. It is our hope that the stories and the insight of the influencers we bring to you will inspire you to use the power of your influence to bring transformational change to your immediate environment, Bahamian society, and for some, even across international divides. Today on Influencers, we're proud to launch a month-long artist series under the theme Music and the Arts, Shaping a New Bahamas, as we take a look at Bahamian society through the lens of music and visual artists who influence, impact, and shape societal outlook through their passion as well as through the serving of their outstanding gifts and talents. And today, we delve into the mind of a Bahamian visual artist who has wowed visual arts enthusiasts across the globe. He has used his brush and skill to paint and sketch his way into the hearts and minds of people the world over, revealing hope on canvas. He has created portraits for some of the world's most influential figures who have contributed to all spheres of human advancement and existence, including entertainment, activism, education, and government. Some of these influential figures include Prince Harry, Prince of Wales, Oprah, Sir Sidney Poitier, former Prime Minister Perry Christie, Golden Globe winner Johnny Depp, and NBA legend Michael Jordan. His work has been featured and documented through international media on Times Magazine, The Washington Post, BBC News, People's Magazine, and The Huffington Post, just to name a few. Today, Influencers welcomes the celebrity artist, Jamal Roll, as we launch this month-long Influencer Special Edition Summer Artist Series on the theme, Music and the Arts, Shaping a New Bahamas. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Sawyer Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way with 7Seas.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of 7Seas Cod Liver Oil. 7Seas Cod Liver Oil is a rich, natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with 7Seas Cod Liver Oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with 7Seas.
At Carib Construction and Project Management, we do three things. We give you exactly what you want at the best possible price while building at the best construction standards in the industry. So when making that big investment in building a home, apartment, or commercial complex, trust our over 20 years of professional experience in architectural drawing, design, and electrical. We even offer complete packages with property and construction included. See our impressive portfolio at caribconstruction.com or call us at 341-4466.
Welcome back to Influencers, and I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is influencer, celebrity artist Jamal Roll, and he's the first featured artist on our month-long summer series under the theme Music and the Arts, Shaping a New Bahamas. Welcome to the show, Jamal.
Hello, Lady Shima. Hello, Bahamas. It's great to be here.
Listen, I've been looking forward to this conversation for quite a while, and after I would have gotten you to finally be able to appear, I said, listen, man, with a
big influencer like this, I've got to do something really special. And so what I did was I comboed that in with the fact that it's the summer. And I said, let's do a special series for these people today. So I'm glad that you're here to start off the series. How do you feel about that?
I feel good. I feel special. Special summer series. Wow.
Yes. And it's because you're doing a great work. You're doing a very, very special work, not just here in the Bahamas, not just throughout the Caribbean region, but actually throughout the world on a global stage. When you hear the theme, Jamal, what comes to your mind, and the theme that is music and the arts shaping a new Bahamas, what does that spur in your mind when you hear a theme like that?
I think that's a very interesting theme. I think as we approach this fair that will highlight, that should highlight the orange economy as a viable part of the Bahamas, the way we do things.
Yes.
I think the focus on music and art is an excellent initiative. As we have, like probably never before, I've seen a proliferation of high level art and music being displayed around the country.
Yes.
And it's great that so many people realizing now that, you know, Bahamians are a viable force.
Yes.
In the creative community to rival anybody around the world. So this is an excellent topic to make it special. Every day I meet somebody new who's like, you know, during the pandemic. I mean, I really immersed myself in the art because I had a lot of time. And I mean, you know, and so I'm happy. I'm happy to be the first to kick off the series.
Yes. And, you know, a grand one at that. I want to ask you, what are some of the ways you feel you have used the power of portraiture to positively influence and impact Bahamian society, specifically as it pertains to the youth development? Because I know that you do a lot of work with young people. You have a lot of aspiring visual artists out there. And literally, they look at you as a great mentor, which you are. I'm sure you take this very seriously.
Yes, I do take it very seriously. And indeed, I've seen a lot of young people take art as something that can be a serious job, something that you could look at as a career.
Yes, as a career.
I am so happy that a lot of them would tell me that you, meaning me, have been the person to inspire them.
Yes.
Because you hardly see an artist or musician that can do it full time and still enjoy a decent lifestyle of success. And I'm happy to be that exemplar for the young people to follow. Every time I meet a young person who into drawing or they like portraiture, I would meet with them, help them, give them some materials.
Yes.
Show them this, how you could take it to the next level. Some of them gone off and they wouldn't even rival me. I helped young guy and show him some stuff and some material. Man, this boy could draw better than me.
What?
So it's good.
Better
now
than the celebrity artist?
Yeah, man. I see some crazy talent.
Amazing. What?
There's some amazing talents out there in the Bahamas. I mean, it's like, wow. So I'm happy that I could inspire them.
Yes.
And in return, a lot of them inspire me.
Yes, yes. You know, talking about you inspiring them, let's talk about who inspired you.
Well, my inspiration just came from artists. My father's an artist. His name is Harry Roll. And he does landscape paintings as well as he did live portraiture.
Okay.
And he was the first artist who I've known from I was like 4 years old. I would see him painting.
Okay.
And then I would draw on the walls and get beaten for it and still did it anyway.
Truly a passion.
And
you still do it after being beaten.
After
beaten.
So I know either I was crazy or I'm going to be
an
artist.
That was just pure passion.
Or both. And so I started painting at a young age.
Yes.
And a lot of Bahamian artists inspire me. I like Eddie Minnis, Brett Malone, all of the greats, as well as the Renaissance artists, Rembrandt, Michelangelo. And so what I did was look at artists whose styles I liked and borrow from here what I like and borrow from there what I like and then created my own style.
Okay.
And which changes every time I get bored. It's just turn into something new.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 2021, mm-hmm. I'm drawing a different style from I was drawing 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you get older, you gain different perspective.
Yes, yes.
It's a different way you want your artwork to be received, mm-hmm. or projected, or whatever mood you're in. And so I'm happy to enjoy this journey,
mm-hmm.
of fine art.
Mm-hmm. It's really awesome. You know, you're a man of integrity, a man of character, a man of tenacity, a lot of tenacity, a man of great faith. Who would you say has been a major influence upon your personal walk of faith? Because a lot of times when I hear your testimonies and you give a testimony as to how things came to be, you know, we see the glitz, we see the glamour, we see the work of art once it's done. But when you hear the story behind this majesty that you're beholding with your eyes, you're like, oh my goodness, he did that? He believed what? You know, it's amazing. Your faith is major. And I believe that your faith is really a big part of the foundation upon which your success rests.
Yeah, I will always acknowledge that, mm-hmm. this talent isn't just from me. This is a talent given to me, mm-hmm. from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always thankful, and people always will say, well, how come you are so, like, down to earth? And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so, because I'm grounded. I'm just so appreciative to be able to do what I've dreamed to do. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to be an artist. I would be in the back of the class as a kid, drawing, you know, just armed with pencil and paper.
Uh-huh.
Never was ever considered one of the intellects,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to be an artist. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to draw. I wanted one day to be able to do the foolish thing of to think of being a successful artist. I had a teacher who told me, "Man, listen, art is a dumb subject, and only the dumb kids,
wow.
would be in art. Why would you want to be an artist? Artists don't make any money. They only make money when they die." Now, to me, it was a ridiculous notion.
Art is a dumb subject is what a teacher said to you.
Yeah.
As an aspiring young Bahamian artist.
Yeah. And, wow. And I guess that was her way of keeping it real, I guess. But to me, it was a ridiculous notion. And I never listened anyway. I just said, well, let me don't try to prove her wrong, but let me just try to prove me right that I can't make it as an artist. And so to wake up every day and to enjoy this decent lifestyle as being an artist is me living out my dream, seeing my dream realized.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful, and I'm thankful to God for giving me this gift. And I look up to some other people who I've seen overcome insurmountable odds,
mm-hmm.
to make it.
Yeah.
One being President Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama. I mean, I saw a lot of similarities. Just of Barack Obama being a community organizer, one day to become the president of the United States.
That's right.
And I remember his story saying, first black president of the United States. So uh-huh. I remember him saying his story. You know, coming from this like islandy place, mm-hmm. Hawaii, having this funny name, being this.
So a lot of similarities there between your stories, yeah.
Yeah, and so I expressed that to him in a letter,
mm-hmm.
along with sending a portrait.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day, I got a letter from the White House. It was from President Barack Obama.
Wow, oh my goodness, man.
So he was thanking me, and he relayed back to,
mm-hmm.
what I said in the letter,
mm-hmm.
to the things that we have in common,
mm-hmm.
to bridging the gap, but taking it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a call from the White House appraiser saying that they got like over 2,000 portraits, and mine was the one that they liked the best.
Oh my goodness.
Considering displaying it,
yes.
in the presidential library.
So, uh-huh.
that hasn't been built yet. It's in the progress.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll see if it made it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that was something that was a special, you know, special connection that I wrote him. He wrote me back.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
that's
who
absolutely
I really
amazing, Jamal. Wow.
Looked up to.
Yes, yes. I mean, the first black president of the United States. Hello.
So that was good. A great exchange.
Yes, you know? Yes, so yeah.
He's one of the people who probably my biggest influences.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about overcoming obstacles, though. You know, you just spoke about the mirror between your experiences with you coming from a small island nation. And Hawaii, not so small as the Bahamas, but we get the story there, right? And then you looking at him arising from being a community activist and helping with youth development, the same thing that you do. Mm-hmm. And you said to yourself, if he can do it, then I can do it. A teacher saying to you that, listen, art makes absolutely no sense. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Why even aspire towards this? And now you're known the world over. So much so that you've been given officially the title, the celebrity artist. There's one. His name is Jamal Roll. Mm-hmm. He's a Bahamian. Let's talk a little bit about some of those obstacles that you may have had to overcome, especially in your much younger years, and saying that you're going to work from the bottom up. You're going to make this happen.
Well, in my younger days, some of the obstacles hit me would have been me not understanding business,
mm-hmm.
and you taking advantage of a lot.
Okay.
A lot of people would devalue what you think your worth is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as an artist, as a starving artist, you become desperate to make money. So mm-hmm. earlier I did some of that, but what I did was develop a business acumen,
mm-hmm.
which switched the game where I'm more of a business person that do art. So mm-hmm. I'm a business person first.
That I like that.
And so it's helped to propel me as an artist, my career. It's helped me to develop a brand and value.
Yes,
and
yes.
And so after thinking about it as a business, some of the things still exist, the obstacle for any young business person in the Bahamas, unfortunately. I mean, it's getting better.
Yes.
Just officially, business license, bank accounts, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And as business grow, I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
I realize that.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please be diplomatic.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's
something. But I mean, it's true.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can be diplomatically honest.
Yeah. It's just some things that I've seen and still affects me.
Yes.
Just because of my race, unfortunately, in a country that's predominantly the same race as I am, there are a lot of strangleholds being.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you took the conversation there, so let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, the name of the show is Influencers, and so we're talking about how societal realities actually impacts the lives of Bahamians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you mentioned to me off mic that, hey, can you believe, Lady Shima, one of the biggest obstacles I've had to overcome is actually to do with the color of my skin. I'm probably just a little bit too, you know, much of a darker hue. And so you said that, listen, I'm thinking about making one or two calls to ask someone of a lighter hue to help me out with this because I'm having problem when I walk into the bank. So you work hard over all of these years developing that business acumen, doing the research, doing the hard work, taking huge leaps of faith. And now you're here in this place, in this space of success, and the black crab syndrome is out there to bite you. I mean, talk a little bit about that in its realest terms. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, there's some things that, unfortunately, just around the world.
Yes.
And it trickles through in our country.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I want to harp on that hint, I mean, linger in that area.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to become somewhat of a symbol to say.
But you would rather just focus on the fact that, hey, we're getting better.
Yeah.
This may be an issue.
Yeah, it's still an issue.
But we're rising.
Yeah, but we could get better.
And we're getting better.
We're getting better. Let's keep it like
that. All right, let's keep it right there, that we're getting better. It's an issue. I feel you on that, though, and I really appreciate your positivity and the way that you choose to lean into the story. That's really awesome, and it's very inspirational. Mm-hmm. But talking about that, let's talk a bit about the business acumen aspect, because this is something now, and even talking about the orange economy and the way that the world is changing, and now artists are really coming into themselves now and the bigness of who they really can be, you know. And I've known a lot of artists, yours truly included, who have experienced a lot of very, very, very deep frustration and not really being able, to pay the bills from what it is that they have been born to do. And so imagine having to really pocket and to minimize what you've been born to do and what you're most passionate about to weekends or 1 or 2 hours after you come home from the 9 to 5, because it's just not happening. You know, it's not paying the BPL, it's not paying the mortgage, it's not paying the rent, it's not really necessarily feeding my children. Tell us a little bit about your whole journey and process in really cultivating your business acumen. You've always had that value, even as a child. Mm-hmm. You knew who you were. But you cultivated that business acumen to really be able to bring your value to the table and to be able to negotiate with the biggest names around the world. What was that process like for you? What did you do exactly?
What I did was I started looking at me as a business person, and started dressing in suits and stuff, not looking like what a typical artist would look like.
All right.
And so a lot of people would look at me as a doctor or lawyer or something, because
I
want a 10-20 piece suit. I mean, to present a portrait. So in a lot of my pictures and stuff like that, whenever I met somebody, I would be in a suit, and I would always present myself and in any meeting be the strongest person in that meeting, because I always felt like if I'm meeting with a doctor or a lawyer, we're on the same playing field. Despite what society may think about your profession, I chose to be an artist because that's what I chose to be, like how you chose to be a doctor or a lawyer.
There you go. And love that. Love that mentality.
And like, I'm at a lower level.
That's right.
And so,
just a different profession.
Yeah, exactly.
But still a professional.
This is what I wanted to do.
Exactly.
I'm not here because I had to settle. The art is really what
very
I wanted to do.
Very good celebrity artist.
So, from that perspective, I've for myself gained value. I think a lot of what creatives are dealing with now who aren't experiencing success, a lot of time is self-inflicted to a point, because artists and creatives need to respect themselves or put themselves at that level. So you demand that respect. You don't give in to people devaluing you. And so when I start, I understand that not everybody can afford a portrait from the celebrity artist. And so what I do, if somebody say, oh, that's too expensive, I'm like, well, here's a list of artists who are really good at portraits.
Okay.
And maybe you could afford their work. And so I still give the other artists opportunity.
It's real up in here
today. And then
I'm
helping you out who can't afford it.
Right.
But I'm not adjusting my price for you.
So you're still meeting the goal.
Right. I'm helping you out.
Yes.
So I don't have a helicopter because I can't afford a helicopter right now. So I understand you can't afford the celebrity artist. It doesn't cost as much as the helicopter. But I'm just saying. And so I think what it helped do, along with working hard and creating a brand for myself, is to put my art as a luxury type of item. And it's like,
yeah, that's really what you've done.
Yeah, and so if you could get it, and most people want the good quality along with name recognition. I mean, I'm just fortunate to
go together.
Yeah, to be in that. Yeah. I'm just happy to work hard to be in that area. And so I think if other artists would build themselves like that, believe in themselves, give good craftsmanship, understand business acumen, do the things that the top tier business person would do, meaning look like a business person, act like a business person, speak like a business person.
That's good.
You know. Answer people in a timely fashion. Show up the things on time.
Oh, I had to wave my hands on that one.
Yes. Because I know those are the pitfalls of creative people.
Lack of
people
being responsive.
Well, we know artists. And so when I present a portrait to somebody before the time, on the time, they'll be like, wow, most artists, you know they're going to be late. You know they ain't going to put your stuff on time. You know
And this is some good stuff.
I used to be that same artist. Like, I would have people who'd say, man, I tried to get a portrait from you. Oh, but I know some people probably still out there listening. I can get to you. I'm going to get to you.
He will get to you. Be patient. He's going to get to you.
And that's something that I'm working on. And
yes.
And I've realized that a lot of people I've missed who would send me a message and say they want a portrait. Mm-hmm. And I didn't answer them in a timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So because of my... just craftsmanship, me doing the work,
okay,
would have me so occupied, I've enlisted an administration person, an agent.
Very good.
To answer these people in a timely fashion.
Yes.
It got to the level where it's like, I can't
do
administration work and accounting work and be the artist. And so I've had to hire people to do this.
Your business has grown.
Right. And
exactly.
And so I don't operate as a person. Mm-hmm. But an entity.
Mm-hmm. Because, that's good.
Mm-hmm. You know, it ain't a person. It's a company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an entity, which is your brand.
Yes. And it's really helped it to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing well. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy. And so I just wanted to share those things.
Yes.
So other business people could do, creative people could think as a business. That's what helped.
That's excellent, Jamal. You know, we're getting ready to segue into a break really soon. But right before we go to break, let's just deal with this particular aspect right here. You gave some really, really, really good points on how to really up your game in presenting yourself as a professional artist. What would you say to those persons who may be listening? And they're like, yeah, I hear you, celebrity artist. I hear you, Mr. Jamal Roll. But how do I actually develop this business acumen? Where do I get this information from? How do I know where to look? That kind of a type thing. Is it just you just go in head first and you just research all of the information that's out there, then you narrow it down? What would be that step-by-step process, specifically as it relates to developing and cultivating that business acumen part?
What I did was, before I look at a tutorial on how to be a better artist, I would look at how to develop a business, how to do a press release, to, you know, stuff like that, how to create a proposal, logo, and then what to do to get name recognition to be memorable. So all of these tips you could find. So I have a logo, I have a website, I have a Facebook page, or just the social media stuff, and the outlet so people could reach me. And I have clear stuff so you could see my work, and I have clear pricing, price lists. So if somebody want to find out, well, what is portraits cost, they can ask me, or I would post it, and I wouldn't say, ask an inbox.
In other words, you make it easy for people to patronize your business.
Yeah, and so I've set up outlets so people are paying me through PayPal and some of the banking stuff. I'm working on just having all of the banks so you could be able to pay online easily.
Yes.
And so what has helped me,
that's good,
is because my business really was based on people seeing my work online and inquiring.
Yes.
The pandemic was something that it was just seamless transition for me, because that's what I was already doing. So the world just catching up to what I've been doing for 10 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So yes. That's really awesome, Jamal. And we're going to go to a break right now. There's still so much more for us to talk about. And for those of you just tuning in, you're listening into Influencers with your host, Lady Shima, of course, the celebrity artist, the one and only Jamal Roll, in with me as the debut artist feature for a month-long summer artist series under the theme Music and the Arts Shaping a New Bahamas. Please stay tuned. We're going to be right back after these words. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios.
capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way with 7Cs.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of 7Cs Cod Liver Oil. 7Cs Cod Liver Oil is a rich, natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with 7Cs Cod Liver Oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with 7Cs.
Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is the celebrity artist himself, Mr. Jamal Roll, as he kicks off for us our month-long summer artist series here on Influencers. And we are discussing the theme today, music and the arts shaping a new Bahamas. And right before we went into break, we were talking a little bit about how you sought to take those very important steps towards cultivating that business acumen. Mm-hmm. And now you're on the global stage, large and in charge, the biggest names. I mean, you've walked with, you've talked with, you've shaken hands with, well, you know, pre-pandemic. And so we're going to be talking now a little bit about your impact on the youth. You know, I was listening to the news the other day and just story after story after story of young men, more so particularly, being arraigned, you know, before the courts for heinous crimes like murder. And I'm like, you know what? If these young men just had, you know, that right outlet for them, maybe it could be the visual arts, it could be music, it could be writing, reading, whatever it may be, we'd be amazed as to how that would put them, you know, on a better and right path. And talking about this, I came across a video with you doing some the TEDx talks in Grand Bahama. Talk a little bit about your work with youth development.
Every opportunity I get to speak in front of youths, go to schools, demonstrate art, talk about my life, I do that. It's important for young people to see an exemplar, somebody who came from the areas where they came from. Mm-hmm. I grew up underprivileged, so we lived in all of the ghettos. And
oh, wow.
And I went to almost every school.
What?
Son of a primary Oak School, primary Claridge, primary Richard, primary.
Oh, my goodness.
C.A. Dreeves, Aaron Bailey, A.F. Hardley, Iva. So I've pretty much touched all of the places you could have touched. But it's good to show that I've sat in the same seats as you guys, and I've made it out to be a success. And if I could do it, you can do it too. Mm-hmm. But it's good to somebody you could see, feel, touch.
That's right.
Yeah, and so for the youth, I always do that because I don't know if I had that much when I was young, like, really, really big influences to really touch us, like how I want to do, like could it really help?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So I try to
so
help.
So you understand the importance of it.
Yeah. 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 Because, you know, a lot of things that I learned now, I had to figure out on my own. Mm-hmm. And it would be so much easier if I had somebody to help with that, especially being a creative. I mean,
yes.
Sure, we've had some growing up. Antonius Roberts used to have art camp at the Finco Art Workshop.
Yes.
Used to be at COB at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big help for a lot of young creatives because a lot of the creatives who went through that went on to become big name artists in the country, like, for example, Al and Pacino Wallace.
Yes.
You know, he was one of the artists who came out to that camp.
Yes.
And so, yeah, creatively, we had the influencers there.
Mm-hmm.
But from a business acumen perspective, you know, a lot of the things I've had to shape and figure out on my own. So I try to not just lend a hand to say this is how to draw, but this is how to navigate the business world.
Are you going to be doing anything like that digitally, you know, virtually now, you know, with this COVID environment and still being able to get out there?
Yeah, I'm giving some consideration to doing a masterclass and some lessons, perhaps. As my schedule, you know, quiets down a little bit. But that's on my to-do list.
Okay, that sounds awesome. Let's talk a little bit about this experience that you had with UNESCO. You said it was in 2019 where some top creative leaders were invited to participate and really like a think tank, so to speak, of creatives from around the world. What was that experience like? And what were some of the ideologies that really came out from that experience as it relates to youth impacting or artisans impacting human society?
First of all, it was a privilege and it was a surprise to I got a call from the China embassy, the Bahamas embassy in China,
right?
That they wanted me to represent the Bahamas and one of the few people from the Caribbean as a part of the list of the leaders, young leaders of the world to create these different initiatives and think tanks.
Yes.
And so it was an awesome experience. I mean, the flight, it took me like 3 days to get to China.
Wow.
Going through Hong Kong, a lot of that, like just traveling by myself.
Was that a scary experience?
It was adventurous.
I love
like
your
that.
Choice of words.
So to be a part of that, you know, it was good. It stood out that I was from the Bahamas and I was just memorable to everybody because it was like, who the guy from the Bahamas? And it's like, we never met somebody from the Bahamas. A lot of them never met a black person, but a black person from the Bahamas. It was like, wow. So they saw me and they'll be like, Bahamas. And
wow,
so that became
Bahamas on the map.
My
in China.
Official name.
Yes.
And it was great to be able to participate to from an intellectual perspective as well as a creative perspective of what the Caribbean would like to see for a better world.
What were some of the ideas that came out of that think tank, though? What were some of the ideas that persons or artisans and creatives, particularly from the Caribbean region, what were they saying? What were you saying?
Well, Caribbean played a major role in what they talked about. It was so many different areas. A lot of it was the inclusion. We wanted to be included from this side of the world and some of the decisions that's happening. If it feels like we would get the trickle down or the hand-me-downs, it wouldn't be the consideration that, okay, you guys play a viable part of the world. And you know, it's just how we felt. We brought that perspective.
Yes.
I don't know if it has something to do with how our leaders would project.
Interesting point.
Yeah. I don't want to get a sound political.
I totally understand, yes.
Yeah. So it was a chance for us to give us perspective.
Yes.
From the Caribbean without having to be muzzled by whatever it is.
Or any
place.
Kind of backlash, yeah.
Yeah,
per se.
You know, because we have a lot of things, Privy Council, all of these type of things
that you have to.
As a country.
Yes.
Certain things we can't do because the Privy Council, like, I just use that as an example.
Yes, understood.
Is, yeah, like if capital punishment.
Yes.
Yeah, they have a certain standard which puts us in a stranglehold as a country that causes us to
So that autonomy is really lacking.
Yeah, and so so it helped. The Caribbean was represented.
What was the response like? I'm very, very interested in finding that out. After you would have made your feelings, your thoughts, your perspective known as a region, what was the response like by those first world countries?
Yeah,
did they agree or?
Yeah, a lot of the... It was crazy. The whole Changzhou initiative, which is this document, this draft, this whole Changzhou initiative, which was this document that was drafted. The main drafters were the people from the Caribbean. It was like me. It was a guy from Trinidad who was very instrumental.
Okay.
And a lady from Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
along with like two Asian people who were like okay. the main drafters
okay.
of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be interesting
mm-hmm.
that the forerunners of this were
okay.
the Caribbean countries.
Mm-hmm.
And we, while we were there, I set up this, in within that, I set up this Caribbean Summit night. And so
okay.
we took a lunch. This was a lunch, a morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we met at, let's say, 9. He said, listen, all the Caribbean people, let's meet at this cafeteria at 7 a.m.
Yes.
And we need to come together as a Caribbean so we could really have a strong force
uh-huh.
in what we're presenting.
Okay.
And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed the idea. So it was somebody from St. Kitts and Nevis. And
so there was that power and influence in unity in
yes.
coming together
yes.
as United Front. That's really worked. Amazing. Were you able to bring over a draft of?
No, but I could access that through.
Okay, because that'll
sent
be
us,
really.
They sent us a draft
they sent
via email.
Okay.
They put it all together.
And uh-huh.
after we did that,
mm-hmm.
the African countries got together and they did their African. So
okay.
it was.
But the Caribbean region led off.
We
yes.
started it. Uh-huh. And they're like, okay.
Led by a Bahamian,
yeah,
the celebrity artist,
Jamal. The next day, the person from Ethiopia.
All of a sudden.
And Tanzania and Guinea and all of those was like, okay,
now
the
they
African
need to have
people
a
sitting together now. So I'm like, wow, we started this thing where
yes.
the Caribbean people hanging in their group, the African countries hanging in their group,
mm-hmm.
the Asian people hanging in their groups.
Yes.
Like, wow.
So all of this major
Leave
influence.
It to a Bahamian.
That's right. That's right. Because we're leaders.
Yeah.
Yes, by nature. Yeah. It's innate. We're leaders. Just wherever we go in the world, you're like, listen, man, that's a Bahamian. It happened when I went off to university. Like,
mm-hmm.
There was this small group, you know, small community of Bahamians. But in almost every sphere mm-hmm. of a student life, a Bahamian was leading. I'm serious.
Yeah,
I'm like, listen, yeah. man, the Bahamas is just, you know, full of leaders.
Yeah.
And that's great.
The highlight of that event, like to
mm-hmm.
end it off, was
mm-hmm.
I drew this drawing.
Yes.
Digitally. I had a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst we were on like a 9-hour train ride from one part of China to the next,
mm-hmm.
I did a drawing
uh-huh.
that created that unified all of the countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they used that as this official backdrop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I call that One Nation, something united, a united world or something like that.
Uh-huh.
A united
uh-huh.
vision
through okay.
the eyes of the youth.
Mm.
And so that became that visual representation that all the members from this country projected through a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
And that became that official
wow.
image. So along with the document.
That was the official image for the event.
Yeah. And it was
amazing.
Just something that I just was on a train ride and I was...
Uh-huh.
We were in commute.
Uh-huh.
I created.
Boy, I tell you, when you're gifted, you're just gifted. You know, let's talk a little bit about the community of creatives and government. Let's
mm-hmm.
talk a little bit about that. What is your perspective? What are your feelings as it relates to governments? And I'm talking about successive governments, not just the current regime, and how they have offered assistance towards the further development of the community of creatives that we have and such great artists that have a talent and a giftedness that's really worthy of the world stage. Do you think that enough has been done? And do you believe that enough is being done? And I'm more so specifically talking about pre-COVID, you know, all things considered.
No, I don't think.
Your short answer is no.
Yeah, I don't
okay.
think. I don't think.
For both government?
Yeah, I don't think. Art, meaning music and all the creative,
yes.
is taking
community, yes.
I think it's an unrespected profession.
Mm.
I think
that's a powerful statement.
Yeah. And by the folks at the top,
mm-hmm.
meaning the politicians.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I think that most of them is a particular profession. Let's say a lawyer. The current and yeah, the height,
yes.
the whatever professions, and so
mm-hmm.
art is something that look down as a. It's just a hobby. It's just something that people do, but we have the real thing, and I
mm-hmm.
think
not a real profession per se.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so, and even in certain governments, sports aren't, you know, it seemed like, I don't want to pick a government over a government. That who would say?
Understood.
Yeah, but it just seemed like it's lacking the sports and the creative stuff. Like
yes,
Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture, and it should have something that's really about arts. You know, a lot of times youth, sports and culture would focus on the sports part. And not even in a series as it should be, but sports got a lot of play. But in terms of culture and arts, no, that's been slept on. Initiatives that have been put in place hasn't been easily accessible.
Okay.
And so, like...
But have you benefited from any of them?
Benefited.
I mean, as the big time celebrity artist Jamal Roll, I mean, any of the initiatives that have been put forth by any of the governments, you know, as it relates to helping you to advance and to succeed?
Well, I've had from both governments or successive governments, I've done jobs or contracts or whatever.
Okay. Okay.
But a lot of it has been, I don't know. Let's say this government has put out some things that small business people could benefit from.
Okay.
For example, I think right now just came out of the budget debate.
Yes.
That new businesses starting, you could bring in things duty free or something like that.
Yes.
That's a big help.
Major, I think.
I know the prior government and the government before that had this government grant thing, I think, where businesses like Bahama Striping and stuff started out. So, to be fair, there has been
some initiatives.
Some initiatives.
Yes.
Even though a lot of them aren't easily accessible. I mean, meaning it's some hoops you got to jump through to qualify for a lot of things.
Okay. You think that has changed now since COVID-19, you know, because what COVID-19 has done, I believe it has catapulted us, you know, 10 years into the future, especially as it relates to digitizing the way that, you know, society is ran. Just the other day, I had my own personal experience with the renewal of my passport. I was so pleasantly relieved as to how seamless the process was. It really was. And I said to myself, I wonder whether or not it would have been this seamless and this accessible and this easy and straightforward if, you know, we did not have, you know, the advent of COVID-19. Yeah. And now a lot of things, we were sort of forced, so to speak, to have to digitize the way that things are done.
Yeah, I applaud the government for taking on these initiatives to get our country closer to the level that it should be on the world stage. And so, yeah, I've too had a pleasant experience with a seamless transaction as when it comes to having my vehicle licensed.
Okay.
It was something where I just sent a Facebook message and they gave me an appointment and it was honored and it was a seamless thing.
And you sent a message through Facebook?
Yeah.
And they responded through Facebook.
I just send a message to say, hey, I want to have my...
That's because you're the celebrity artist.
Oh, okay. They saw my name and say, okay, yes, he might draw me by in the paper, so let's get him straight. Okay, true. That
No, but I'm cracking. But go ahead.
So that works.
Yes.
And so, but there are some things. And I think because of the lack of inclusion, of representation, of a creative in Parliament...
Okay, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, because... That's what Parliament and politics lack, creativity. A lot of people, they would do the same thing and expect these crazy results when it's just...
It's interesting that you should say that, Jamal, you know, because you would think that because persons are exposed, because they're educated, that they would have at least near to a full understanding of the role of the community of creatives
yeah.
in, yes, in you societal know. Development, because there's a crucial role that, you know, we play very much so, you
yeah.
know, but there really seems to be a lack of an appreciation for it. So you're saying that you believe that the creative him or herself literally needs to be in the house.
Yeah, because it is an intellectual capacity.
Mm-hmm.
What would say to someone that, for me, mm-hmm. I use my intellectual capacity to say that
mm-hmm.
I could use my artwork
mm-hmm.
to create a name and create an interesting revenue stream for me. That's mm-hmm. that could get my voice out there. And a lot of times I'm able to... What I do with the newspaper,
yes,
draw the happenings of the country,
mm-hmm.
and even through art, I could create sceneries and pictures that would tell a story.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think a lot of people, when you think just from this one box, mm-hmm. from this analytical way,
uh-huh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and not, let's say, digitally,
mm-hmm.
and not in a way where creative.
Thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's why we see the same.
Yeah, like a myopic kind of view, type
yeah.
view, yes.
Because it's like certain things as a creative, it's like, how come y'all can't see it?
Right.
Y'all supposed to be the smart people.
But we see it so easily, right?
Yeah.
Right, right. Because of the way our brain is wired.
Like, if yeah. you, for example, look in the minister, youth sports and culture, mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. going back on that, because I'm a culture person.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I think I want to represent what youth, what culture, I think in there it's supposed to have color and vibrancy and
yes.
even the sounds, our musicians and Junkuno and stuff. I think if somebody visiting that,
mm-hmm.
you should feel that.
Yes.
Not go into this small infested
mm-hmm.
building that's just boring and dead. I mean, not...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's just me thinking from a creative perspective.
I got you.
Somebody could just put on a suit and say, well, they're this person and this how they met it. So they will just leave it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand you're thinking from a lawyer, accountant.
Mm-hmm.
You think that way, not from the creative perspective. We need to fight for this inclusion in Parliament. We need to be up around the table and making the policy,
mm-hmm.
because we are a big part of what our nation should
okay.
be, you know?
Mm-hmm. So Jamal Roll then for Freetown, Jamal Roll for Carmichael. am I putting your foot in hot water there? Or?
No, I mean, I have a because I do the editorial cartoons for the newspaper.
Yes.
I am deeply immersed in what happens
mm-hmm.
on the political stage.
Yes.
And I love
your take on it. It's like a parody, so to speak.
Yeah.
Satire, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Satire.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never know in the future. Perhaps.
Okay. So this is not something that you're just blocking out. Like, this is impossible.
No, I won't
it's never
block
gonna
it
happen.
Out because I would want to be that person to mm-hmm. really
mm-hmm.
make a change.
That's
like
good.
I don't want to, and I know that's what everybody, that's what every politician says. They would say all of this stuff like that. They mm-hmm. would give you the "I have a dream" and all of that type
yeah.
of thing.
I have a dream speech, and then
yeah.
when they get
and
in, then it's
and then, yeah, you know. So that sounds cliche,
okay.
but I mean that's why I wouldn't enter now,
mm-hmm.
and then. To enter politics for me would be like a huge pay cut. And
Did you just say it would be a huge pay cut?
Yeah, so I'm being honest. I mean,
this is powerful.
Because we see a lot of times.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Alleged corruption and whatever.
Yes, yes, of course.
And I think a lot of mm-hmm. that has to be with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why perhaps a lack of quality individuals
mm-hmm.
may or may not be get into politics because of stuff like it's a financial loss
mm-hmm.
in a lot of cases.
That's an interesting
because
take.
You have to
give
up everything. If mm-hmm. I
you truly do.
Yeah,
you
so
truly
if
do.
I decide to say, hey, I pick one side over the other.
Mm-hmm.
which I'm none of them.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I'm a mm-hmm. pictorial journalist.
Yeah, you have to remain neutral.
I hit everybody for whatever the news is. Mm-hmm. I know everybody, perhaps friends with everybody.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm not. But I have a view on how mm-hmm. things should be as a creative.
Okay, that's really awesome, Jamal. And I'm here sitting down looking at you, and you automatically brought to mind some of the conversations that I had with my brother, Sammy Starr, 101, when he mm-hmm. was trying to, you know, when he threw his hat into the ring because he wanted to make a difference as a creative in the house.
Yeah, right?
And back then, about around 2012 or, yeah, thereabouts, the person didn't really understand his perspective and where he was coming from. And now it is here in 2021.
Yeah.
You're pretty much saying a lot of what it is that he said and his reasoning that in order for this perspective to really be represented in the house, a creative him or herself must be in the house as the voice for the community of creatives.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And so that's really a powerful thing.
That's what we lack. Creativity.
Yeah. Creativity in the house.
It's just we do the same things mm-hmm. that they met in place, and mm-hmm. the policies be a rollover mm-hmm. thing or some things are just canceled, and then it's like.
And creativity also speaks to innovation. You know, that's an aspect of creativity, innovation. And that's mm-hmm. a lot of what it is that we really need right now, especially in this COVID-19 environment. Mm-hmm. This is the time when innovation must come to the fore in presenting national solutions to the issues with which we are now faced as a people. Let's wrap up the show right now. We've just got about 2 more minutes, and mm-hmm. I just want you to do this. And this is something that I should have done earlier, but the conversation was really flowing, so I allowed it to flow. But mm-hmm. I want to do this little section here called The Personality, The Experience, The Lesson. The Personality, The Experience, The Lesson. So I'm going to name one or two personalities that you would have had the honor of drawing a portrait for or connecting with due to what it is that you do as the celebrity artist. I want you to just give me about 30 seconds of the most memorable thing about that particular experience or event or meeting, and the lesson more than anything else. What did you take away as a lesson, life lesson, in meeting that particular person? These are the two persons that I would choose, just very, very briefly. One person would be Oprah. And the next person would be Sir Sidney.
Okay, let's start from Sir Sidney.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, seeing Sir Sidney on TV, you know that Sir Sidney is, when you think about Bohemian dream, American dream, black dream,
every dream.
I mean, Sir Sidney's the personification of that.
Wow.
And he came for his, the renaming of the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I did a cartoon because I remember it was some protests against, some Bohemians had a thing about him mm-hmm. not, they didn't want the bridge named after him for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I drew a cartoon.
I remember it well.
And later on, I was presented the opportunity from the then government to do a portrait for mm-hmm. Sidney, and I presented it to him. And when I presented it to him, it was my first time meeting him, and he said, "I've never looked so good before in my life."
Wow!
And whilst he hugged me, he said to me, "My friend, you're gonna be one of the most successful Bohemians to ever live."
Wow. Oh, my
and
God.
And he just, like, he didn't say that on the mic. He said that to me.
Yeah, right. To your ear.
And I felt that. Because it was like, that was something where I'm like, wow.
That's a transformative moment.
That. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I got to work. You know, I really got to work. And that helped me to believe. Prior to that, I've heard, you would hear negatives.
Yes.
About Sir Sidney.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
And it was so crazy that but I heard so much, I never really thought of him prior as this really, really positive person. I thought of him as like how people projected to say, oh, he's this guy who came from the Bahamas and got famous and forgot about
Listen
the Bahamas.
To that. Wow.
And that was so crazy.
Right, right.
And here I am. I met the guy. And he did something that said to me that was so transformative. He didn't have to say anything to me. The lesson I learned in that is you block out the negativity. You never know how, you know, who a person is by what somebody say about
that's
them.
Right.
And I had no reason to say, think of him in a negative way. And that there, I was like, wow. So I really became a fan of his, really watched a lot of his movies. Since then, I did a portrait for his, I think it was his 90th birthday or something like that. I did another portrait for him, the government. And through that same weekend, I learned that Oprah was here. So I said to me, oh, myself. I said, self?
Self?
No way Oprah Winfrey leaving this country.
No way.
Without meeting me.
No way.
I don't know how, and I'd say without me meeting her, without her meeting me.
That's right. That's right.
I learned that she was at Atlantis, and I drew a portrait of her. And I saw a gang of, like, entourage and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I saw the prime minister went in with his entourage. And I said to this guy, hey, one of his, the protocol people.
Yes.
I need you to tell the prime minister, Jamal Roll is out here with the portrait for Oprah. Just like that.
Listen to me, yes.
I just saying, I got to find a way. And the guy looked at me like, Jamal, if I open, I say, just tell the prime minister.
Make it happen.
He knows
what
I'm talking about.
That's right.
The portrait was the gift for Oprah. Tell Prime Minister Jamal Rolochia with the portrait, which is just a gift for Oprah.
Faith move.
The guy came out and said, hey, he said he want to see it. I just let him see it. And it said, okay, come in.
Wow.
So I'm in the room with Oprah. Oprah sees me. She's like, so the prime minister then said, hey. The prime minister then says, hey, this is a official gift from the Bahamas to Oprah. You don't know. And then Oprah
Listen
like,
to that.
Oprah like, oh my God, Jamal, you're so talented. Can I hug you? I was like, my mind. I said, you Oprah, you could do whatever you want to do to me.
Come on,
I'm
somebody.
Like, shoot, you get me pregnant. Anyway, I'm like, whatever you want to do. At the end of the day, since the prime minister claimed it as a gift from the Bahamas, I sent them an invoice.
Yes, that's
and
what I'm
I was
talking
paid.
About.
I was
right.
paid for it.
That's right.
And then Oprah sent me a letter.
That's right.
And a photo of it, of her holding the portrait.
Wow. Yeah, I remember seeing that. And what was the lesson there with that one?
You never give up. Always have faith. You got to believe in you.
Yes.
You know, even though it might seem like there's a way that you can't make it, you just got to have faith and know that.
Yes.
I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this to Oprah. And that was my thing. I have to get this to Oprah. I didn't even, it wasn't no doubt in my mind.
Yes.
I drew it, got it framed, everything.
Yes.
Because I know I was going to have a meeting with Oprah.
Wow. Amazing, amazing lesson upon which to end today's show, Influencers. The one and only the celebrity artist himself, Jamal Roll, as our debut artist for a month-long summer series with the theme Music and the Arts Shaping a New Bahamas. Block out negativity and have faith in yourself. Believe that it's going to happen. And that's the way that we're going to end Influencers today. I myself am so inspired, as you can hear. Blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
7Seas. Start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. The Beauty Barn, hair and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out.